with Sundance in the morning with my co-host David Darcy, and coming up, the director of, you know, I think with that exaggeration, probably, you know, in, one of the more anticipated films of the festival, called To Be Take, and Take, is that the right way to say it?
That's the correct pronunciation.
And I know because that's how Bender the Robot said it on Futurama, so I know that's got to be right. So tell us a little bit about, well, you know, we know George Takei, at least some part of it, but it turns out to be a person with kind of a surprising number of phases in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a documentary portrait about the actor and activist George Takei. And he's, of course, most known for his role in Star Trek, the original Star Trek series, as Mr. Sulu. But beyond that, he was imprisoned in a Japanese-American internment camp in his childhood, which is really an unusual experience to have, and then went on to be a trailblazing Asian-American actor, and most recently came out in 2005 after having been publicly closeted for most of his career, and has become a trailblazing activist for LGBT civil rights, and goes around educating people about civil rights, and his career has been reignited also by his being the official announcer on the Howard Stern Show, which is really from A to Z.
Yeah, I have to say that if you're expecting a kind of earnest, reverential Sundance-style tribute, the film opens with Howard Stern. So there is a lot of humor here from all sorts of people, also, but also from George and George Takei, and from his partner. How did this project happen? How did it start?
You know, I didn't know them. I didn't know George and his husband Brad. After 2005, I had always been a huge Star Trek fan, and I was really thrilled and delighted when George Takei came out in 2005 and became an LGBT activist. And I just started hearing him, like, on radio shows, and he sort of became a spokesperson for that movement. And I thought his attitude and style was just very quick-witted and eloquent, and he could be quite serious or he could be outrageous. And I really resonated with that. And then I read his autobiography, which was about his internment experience as a child, and I just couldn't believe Mr. Sulu had been imprisoned in an internment camp. And so I just thought, there really should be a documentary about this, and I'd love to see it. And I just decided I had to try to approach them and ask. And I was somehow they agreed. And they saw my previous work and liked it. And
tell us a little, just a background, what is your previous work?
I made a film called It Came From Kuchar, which is about the legendary underground filmmaking twins, George and Mike Kuchar. They were in the Andy Warhol scene of the 60s, but a little funnier than Andy Warhol, and influenced John Waters, Buck Henry, Adam McGoyan, a lot of big filmmakers and directors, despite their, you know, underground work and taste, I would say.
Just to kind of start it at the beginning, and without giving away too much of what's in the movie, tell us a little about where George grew up and what happened to him during World War II. Where, mm-hmm. What camp did he end up in? That was a period where I think even in they had a camp in Utah in the West Desert, I believe.
George didn't end up in Utah, but I believe that you're correct about that. So George was 4 when they were rounded up, and then they were held in camps. While the camps were being built, they were actually held in like a horse stall in Los Angeles for a couple of months. And then he was born in Los Angeles, American citizen, and him and his family were initially sent to Roar, Arkansas, which is the camp that's farthest east. So they went all the way from Los Angeles to Arkansas. And then they had a loyalty questionnaire after a year or so in the camp, which was really about being able to draft people. And his parents refused to sign their loyalty because it was a very offensive, document. And so then they were sent to a high security camp called Tule Lake in Northern California. So they were shipped all the way into Arkansas and then all the way back to California, Tule Lake. And that was the high security camp. They had martial law at times. That was a less pleasant place to be. So he spent the duration of World War II there.
Now, when you see the film, you'll see archival material from George Takei's early life, from the internment experience through George's early days in the entertainment business, then lots of clips from films, from Star Trek, the TV show, Star Trek, the movies. Having made one film, I know that archival material costs a fortune to use, or can cost a fortune to use. How do you afford this? Because there's just a wealth of material. This is not just a talking heads documentary.
Right. Yeah, archival footage can be very expensive. So there's a variety of ways to work with archival footage. And one way is it can be licensed. Another way is to go under the fair use rules. So we've done a combination, which is pretty much what documentaries are doing these days. And people specialize in it and you get insurance and it's completely legal. But it's the fair use because you're educating people about a subject.
Does the fact that you do go to fair use to use this material, does it discourage distributors who might worry about challenges to rights, down the line?
That's not my understanding and hasn't been my experience, because it, as I said, it's a law that you can do that and you can still get insurance and we have insurance, so It's you just have to follow the rules of fair use. You can't just take any footage and put it in your movie and change it. It has to be, specified to certain parameters for fair use laws.
Okay. Now, George, as I understand it, reading Deseret News and other newspapers, which I read, George has come out publicly and in support of gay marriage in Utah. Now, we're at an opportune moment. I don't want to use the cliche, the perfect storm here, but this must be a great time to bring this film to an audience in Utah and to a place where all the media is watching the gay marriage debate and at the same time this fairly significant chunk of the festival that deals with LGBT issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it. What a surprising coincidence. I'm so glad that George will be here to give hope to the people of Utah because I know a lot of them are hoping that marriage equality will become the law of the land here. And, yeah, it's just strange. So if it had to happen, I think it's great that it's happening now because George will give us hope. But I'm sorry that it is happening at all, that people are being – anyone would be denied the right to marry.
And with a documentary here on Prop 8 – mm-hmm. And maybe some other films relating to that also. So there, as David said, it's kind of a harmonic convergence here.
Mm-hmm. And of course, George is here with his husband Brad too. So they're here to stand together, and that's a big part of the film is their relationship and how they've endured so many years closeted and now out as sort of a poster couple.
There's plenty of humor in that. When and why did George Takei come out?
He came out in 2005, and in California, it was the result of the state legislature had passed the marriage equality. I'm not sure what the specific name is, but a marriage equality law that all Schwarzenegger, who was our governor at the time, had to do was sign it, and it would have been the law of the land. And he decided to veto it, and people were protesting, and George decided, I need to be included in that protest. I need to put my voice out there. So he decided to come out at that time. And that was prior to Prop 8.
Now, from a political legal point of view, just from your perspective, to me it just seems like this thing is not going to get hashed out finally until it goes to the Supreme Court.
Right. We've had it at the Supreme Court one time, and it went pretty well. But obviously, there's still a lot of work to do, because I remember people were so excited with those rulings, which were great. But, you know, it's important to remember, you know, there, that was a great victory, but there's still more work, and that may be the case.
Yeah.
That it has to go back. And
go back a little bit to the to Georgia's early days as an actor, I guess, would maybe starting in kind of the late 50s or something. And what was it like trying to become a new actor and a new face as an Asian American when if you look at, you know, old movies and TV, all the actors who played Orientals, they could meet in this room. Right,
yeah, and they'd have to, use a kind of central casting accent and play characters who were kind of foolish. What's turned around now?
Well, I think it's changed quite a bit, but of course, George faced tremendous obstacles. It was nearly impossible. So, you know, it's easier now, but I don't think it's super easy still for Asian American, especially men. I'm not 100% sure about that, but to break through.
Okay, and but the breakthrough for the film to be Takei, your first screening, Jennifer, is today actually.
To be Takei today.
and today is Saturday, 9 p.m. at the Yarrow, the hotel behind the Holiday Village. Then you're down to Salt Lake tomorrow, and back up here Monday, Redstone Cinema, and Saturday at the Temple Theater in Park City at Saturday night then.
So beam yourself to one of those screenings.
Beam us over, Scotty. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.